Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. It's an all-time favorite, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Good morning, Kareem. How are you?
I'm doing great. Nice to talk to you.
You are one popular dude, and I'm not just, and I'm talking particularly about here in Milwaukee. You know, you played here for several years, won a championship here, and you are still, after all these years, revered in this town.
I mean, I'm really honored by that. You know, it's nice to be part of so many people's positive memories. You know, it's not a negative. It's a very positive thing. I'm always running into people in various parts of the country that are from Wisconsin, and they remember the games. They remember listening to the games and watching the games or checking out Eddie Doucette on the radio. It's pretty neat.
You know, that was a huge part of it because everyone imitated. When you're out on the court playing basketball and, you know, you're calling your own game, you're your own announcer.
When you're a kid.
Everyone was just Eddie Doucette taking the skyhook.
Skyhook, yeah. He named it the skyhook.
Yes, he did.
So, and you guys all do a pretty decent job of staying in touch with each other, like Johnny Mack, for instance.
Yeah, I talk to John when I come through town, and I see Eddie every now and then. Eddie lives in Southern California now, so you know we get a chance to talk, and it's pretty neat. I see some of my old teammates, John Block, who played with me here. He doesn't live too far from me. He's down towards San Diego, but. You know, I get a chance to see him and talk to him.
Sure. Oscar is still out there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See Oscar at the All-Star game and other places like that.
Greg Smith, Bob Danger, I mean, the list goes on. But is John McLaughlin the nicest guy on the planet? Yes or no?
He's a great guy. he forgave me. I put his son on top of the lockers at Milwaukee Airport and left him there.
What? What?
What's my son doing on top of the locker? His son Shannon. Get him to tell you that story. It's pretty funny.
John will be back around eventually. He's not here today.
Just in a moment off the air, you were saying you got mad at him on court for what?
For not passing me the ball. There were times when I was open, he was supposed to pass me the ball.
But you said you also got mad when you would pass it to him. And he wouldn't shoot.
Yeah. He's wide open. I had three guys on me. He's wide open. And I throw it to him, and he'd look, and then he'd throw it back to me. Like, you do it.
You guys are both workhorses. You're in town because you have a book, correct?
I'm in town. I'm doing a one-person personal show. It's about my life. It's about the people that helped me figure out who I should be. And, you know, all of the things that went into forming my life, my parents, all the positive influences in my life, and other people that, you know, had a very strong influence on me.
Now, we don't.
So it's an on-stage autobiography.
Pardon me?
So it's an on-stage live autobiography.
That's more or less what it is. It's called Becoming Kareem. It starts at the Marcus Center tonight. And it's so much is happening to today. Let's see, the NBA 2K game is, I'm in that. That's being released today. I have a book coming out next month. I'm going to be auctioning my memorabilia next month. There's so much going on in my life. I'm busier than ever.
Wait a minute, auctioning memorabilia? What are you auctioning?
What's going?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Golden Auctions. I'm going to be doing an auction, auctioning of my memorabilia starting next month.
Okay. As far as the book goes, or getting up on stage and talking about yourself, I always was under the impression that you were a very private person.
Yeah, I was.
And you were. Right? Do you still think you are?
No, I think that it's better to talk about some of these things. You know, I've written about different aspects of my life that I always kept private. For example, I did a book about my relationship with Coach Wooden, our 50-year friendship. And, you know, it was difficult in that they were very personal and private things, but in sharing it with people, I found that I've been able to spread the light. And, you know, that's what it should all be about. And
that's a good thing. I mean, yeah. I'm sure no one read the book about you and John Wooden and your relationship and said, oh, this is terrible. I mean,
right.
But you and John Wooden, you had a little time there where you had kind of a strained relationship, didn't you?
It wasn't strained. It was he'd never understood what a person like me went through. And he didn't really understand what Black Americans have to deal with until he saw what I had to deal with up close and personal like that. And, you know, Coach Wooden did some incredible things with regard to civil rights. You know, he refused to take his team to the NAIA tournament while it was segregated. He forced them to allow him to bring his a Black player who was not a starter, but he forced them to bring them to the tournament in 1948. You know, this is a serious thing in those days. You know, this is civil rights, wow. And this is the very beginning of the civil rights movement. And Coach Wooden never talked to me about that he did that. You know, he could have gotten a lot of brownie points for telling me about that. But he did it the right way. Totally honest and very straightforward.
Do you think that would have changed your relationship had you known that going in?
Well, it certainly would have been a plus for my attitude about him. You know, I would have been really impressed by the fact that he did something like that at a time when that was not popular.
How big a cult?
Do you ever figure out why he did not tell you?
I know for sure. Coach Wooden did things because they were the right things to do, and he never expected to get any credit for it, so he never mentioned it. He did the right thing at the right time and continued on with his life.
And, boy, just never make it in radio like that, you know.
You better talk about yourself all the time and everything you've ever done and how cool you are. You are not going to make it in radio.
Yeah. Well, that's why he coached.
Yeah, I guess so.
So you said that you were a very private person.
But not now?
Are you just more comfortable talking about things that have happened
I'm
to you?
I'm more comfortable talking about my life. I'm more comfortable talking to people who have been influenced by things that I've done. You know, you never expect to have that effect on people's lives until you go out and meet them and talk to them and realize, you know, how many of the things that you've done have been significant in other people's lives.
Living in Southern California now.
Yeah.
You grew up in New York. You went to UCLA. You came to Milwaukee to play for the Bucks. You went back to Los Angeles. It seems like you're a Los Angeles guy, even though, you know, you grew up in New York and spent time here.
Well, yeah, you know, that my family's my wife was from out there. My wife and kids were all out there, and you know, after I got divorced, I wanted to be close to them. And, you know, I thought that what was happening here in Milwaukee with the team was not going to lead to a world championship. You know, maybe it was time for me to change locations. But it never had anything to do with any animosity toward either the city or the Bucks. They have treated me incredibly, and I will always appreciate that, the reception I got and the way that they treated me. You know, they've appreciate what I did on the court, and they never got on my case.
How do you like the new place?
How does it make you feel to know that you won a championship here like two basketball arenas ago? I mean,
well, you know, it's great to be part of a positive memory in people's lives. They'll never forget that. You know, I know how people here remember. There's still people running around that remember Hank Aaron in the 57 World Series. Sure. I remember that. Yeah. You know. So I know that being a part of a positive memory to the fans in Wisconsin, you know, has made me friends for life, and that's awesome.
How long is your on-stage show? What are we looking at here?
We're looking about 75 to 90 minutes.
75 to 90 minutes? You better take a glass of water out there with you. You're going to need to sip on something.
Right. Are you talking the whole time, or are there, I don't know.
Keep my throat moist.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Make sure I look at my syllabus and get some tournaments.
I'd hate to see you have to take a knee halfway through this thing. That's for sure.
No, we won't be doing that. We'll talk everything through.
What are you have a do you have a chair, a stool? What's the set look like?
Standing or?
No, we're going to be sitting in director's chair.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
So
listen, I'm going to have to run. I got to do some more of this stuff, some more radio stuff, some more guys on radio.
Oh, well, don't be nervous. Like I told you before we started here, okay?
I'll try not to sweat.
All right, Kareem, thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend, and hope to see you at the show tonight.
Yes, sir.
Kareem, becoming Kareem. VIP ticket packages available for single ticket buyers now.
Oh, that's what it's down to, single tickets? He's a very popular guy every time he shows up here. He's been at the arena a couple of different times taking tours. I've seen him in the helmet and the safety vest. Like, you can't see him. Really? I have to put this on. You can't see me. I'm over 7 feet tall.